ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్ ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And welcome to yet another episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Well, for us to have God as our partner, I feel whether we look so good outside or not, we have to be really beautiful inside and really strikingly adorable deep inside. And that is what coming to Prashantinilayam, coming into the ambit of Bhagwan's grace, of stepping into the holy abode of Puttaparthi does to us. Yesterday I had the opportunity to take a group of youngsters from Malaysia to some of the sacred sites of Prashantinilayam. We went to the meditation tree. We went to the birthplace of Bhagwan. We went to the newly constructed archival building. And some of the youth, teens who have just come to Prashantinilayam, until now they had only heard about this place, and they are now saying, if only I can stay here forever. You don't want to go back to Malaysia. Why? There is so much peace here. We feel there is something in the air that we cannot express. And just a few days from now, we will be seeing a festival of joy and festival of gaiety, festival of song, festival of beautiful togetherness as people from all parts of the world, of all regions and colors and belonging to different faiths sing the carols on the Christmas day. I think it is one of the very unique festivals of Prashantinilayam. Perhaps this is one of the unique ways Christmas is celebrated anywhere where people of all religions come together and so joyously sing the glory of the Lord. The Lord who chose December 25th for his advent. And it is this purity, it is this unity that makes one feel experience divinity in Prashantinilayam. When all these Malaysian kids were walking in the streets of Puttaparthi, the discipline with which they were conducting themselves, the way they were in rows, the way they were so orderly in their approach, many onlookers asked me, are they students? And I said, yes, they are students. They are just from another country, but they are also Sai students. In fact, this is what the Satya Sai system of integral education aims to disseminate in the world. Bhagwan said he constructed a couple of colleges only as role models, and it's so beautiful to see so many institutions walking on the path laid down by these model institutions. I earlier shared with you how summer courses used to happen in the 70s. Those were occasions when Bhagwan used to allow students from all over India to participate, listen to his discourses on a daily basis, listen to lectures from very eminent scholars, get the chance to do selfless service, build their heart through cooperative living and selfless serving. And I told you how Bhagwan always involved Sri Ramana Rao during summer courses. In the last few episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we have been dwelling on this series, Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, wherein I have been sharing with you stories of exemplary souls, people with sterling character, who were chosen to be servitors of Bhagwan. After the story of Mr. Pant, the story of Mr. Ram Mohan Rao, I've been telling you the story of Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao, how he came to Bhagwan early in the 60s, and so many instances of Bhagwan chiseling his personality, Bhagwan shaping this beautiful instrument. So we are now in 1978. During the summer course of that year, Bhagwan asked Sri Ramana Rao to also speak to the students. Generally, he would be involved only looking after the food preparations. He would always come with his band of sevadals, probably 20, 25 of them, and they would look after all the lunch, breakfast and dinner sessions. And that was how Ramana Rao sir was always involved right from the inception of the summer course. But in 1978, Bhagwan suddenly asked him to also give a talk. That year, all the participants of the summer course were the students of Bhagwan's colleges. Also, Swami allowed 4 students from every state of India to participate along with the boys, and these students were selected by the state presidents of Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations all over India. So Swami gave Mr. Ramana Rao 2 days to prepare for his talk. So he did his homework well, and on the D-Day he made his presentation. It was a grand success. Bhagwan was very happy. There was a loud applause from all. And at the end, when he bowed down at Bhagwan's feet, Swami patted his head and said, "Good, good, good. Manchidi, manchidi. It was very good." During that summer course, Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was then the leader of the opposition in the Indian Parliament, had also come. He participated in the summer course, and in fact, on one of the days, he was chief guest. Later on, as many would know, Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee went on to become the Prime Minister of India. So, when Sri Atalji was asked to speak by Bhagwan, he praised the Satya Sai educational system. And he said, this is something worthy of emulation both in national as well as international educational institutions. What we need is this kind of education which is imbued with human values. And he also said that he was indeed fortunate to see the establishment of such an institution because he always dreamt of building something of this nature. He was to leave for Delhi the next afternoon. But before that, he expressed a desire to participate in the Nagar Sankirtan in the morning. He was staying in the guest room that was attached to the college. And it was Mr. Raman Rao's duty to wake up the president, wake up Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee and escort him for the Nagar Sankirtan. It so happened that the previous night, Mr. Raman Rao was very tired after finishing all the duties in the kitchen and the dining hall. By the time he slept, it was 10 o'clock. And as he slept, he kept the door open, thinking that he would get nice cool breeze. But unfortunately, that night, it was not just cool breeze, but it was freezing cold. Suddenly in the night, there was a very terrible cold wave. And when he woke up that morning at 4 a.m. with the help of alarm, Mr. Raman Rao was feeling very giddy and he was having headache. His body was aching. Nevertheless, he had the duty to do. So he showered and went to the college guest house. And Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee Ji was ready. There were two other students also to accompany this revered chief guest. And he went for the Nagar Sankirtan. In those days, the Nagar Sankirtan used to be beautiful with the students leading and so many joining and Bhagwan even coming out on the balcony of his residence towards the end of the Nagar Sankirtan. The culmination of the Nagar Sankirtan was a glorious one, with Bhagwan emerging from his residence and blessing everyone with his benedictory early morning darshan.
Pyare Nandalal Darshan Dijo. Pyare Nandalal Darshan Dijo. Yashoda ke baad darshan dijo. Yashoda ke baad darshan dijo. Jai Nandalal darshan dijo. Thank you. darshan dijo. Pyare nandlal darshan dijo. Yashoda ke baal darshan dijo. नंदलाल दर्शन दियो नटवर लाल दर्शन दियो गिरिधर बाल दर्शन दियो गिरिधर darshan dijo kare nandala darshan dijo.
So that is how during the Nagasankirtan people used to pray, kare nandalal darshan dijo. O Lord, bless us with the early morning blissful darshan and Bhagwan you would emerge. So Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee had a very memorable stay with Bhagwan during that summer course. And Mr. Raman Rao returned to his room that morning after Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee attended the Nagar Sankirtan, and since he was not feeling well, Mr. Raman Rao went and he slept till 7:30. After that he went to the hostel to have his coffee, and when he was sipping his coffee he noticed something very strange. He saw that coffee was trickling down from his mouth on the right side. It was very unusual. There was some problem with his muscles in the mouth, and that is when he realized what was happening to him. When he was 16, he had fallen down from a bike because the rider applied a sudden brake. He was sitting behind the rider, and because of that he had had an injury in his 7th cranial nerve. There was a obstruction resulting in facial paralysis. So he had gone through this when he was young, but all of this had subsided. But that day when he found that a part of his face is not functioning, it has become numb, then he realized that maybe this cold wave has done some damage which has resulted in resurfacing of his facial paralysis, and now it was to a greater degree, it was more severe. He was not able to speak well also. His speech was slurred. So he did not know what to do. He came out of the hostel and he waited on the path to Trivandavan, Bhagwan's residence. He waited there, waiting for Bhagwan to come out. When Swami came for darshan, Swami looked at Mr. Raman Rao's face and Swami said, "Oh, you also got it. You go and take rest." And in the afternoon, the warden of the hostel suddenly called on Mr. Raman Rao and said, "Swami is leaving for Puttaparthi day after tomorrow morning. He has asked that you should go with him in his car. You should go with him in Swami's car. And Swami has told that you should be standing at the Vrindavan gate with your baggage day after morning." And that is exactly what happened. He was ready. Bhagwan's car came. and the boot of Bhagwan's car was opened. He kept his baggage there. The door was opened and Bhagwan asked Mr. Raman Rao to sit next to him during that journey to Puttaparthi from Vrindavan. And after they reached Puttaparthi, Bhagwan asked Mr. Raman Rao to stay in East Prashanti, A5 room. He wanted him to stay just next to Mandir. And Swami said, you attend bhajans both in the morning and in the evening. And after the arati, when I retire upstairs, you follow me to the dining room. And Swami said, this is what is going to be your schedule now. So for 1 month, every day Mr. Raman Rao would follow Swami after Bhagwan's interviews, and Swami would be there during the dining sessions, and he would want Mr. Raman Rao to eat along with him. So he was there with Bhagwan in his dining room in the night as well as in the day. And even when Bhagwan invited some guest to dine with him, Swami would ask Mr. Raman Rao also to be there. And not only that, Bhagwan would be very particular about what he was eating then. Swami would say, apart from rice, you should also consume one chapati. And as you eat the chapati, chew it thoroughly. Swami said that would give very good exercise to your muscles in the face. And so this schedule was what Mr. Raman Rao was in for 4 continuous weeks. Swami also got neurobion injections administered to him on alternate days. Slowly, with Bhagwan's grace, Bhagwan's constant care, and Bhagwan's overpowering love, his skewed mouth regained 80% of its original state in that month before Bhagwan returned to Bengaluru. And before Swami left, Swami looked at Mr. Raman Rao again and said, see, this is the second time you are facing this problem. That is why the cure is taking a little longer. But don't worry, it will be completely cured. It will happen slowly. And this was an occasion where Mr. Raman Rao not only was submerged in the loving care of Bhagwan, but he also had the ringside view of Bhagwan's life, what Bhagwan eats, how Bhagwan converses with the guests. And he would see that Bhagwan would only eat a little ragi cereal in the night with chutney, and take just few spoons of rice and curry in the morning and sip a little buttermilk. That is all Bhagwan ever had as his meal. But Swami would always ensure that Mr. Raman Rao ate the chapatis thoroughly, and Swami would say, chew well. And every time Mr. Raman Rao sat next to Bhagwan, Swami would look at him with great compassion. And every time he would look at his face and say, it is reducing, it is reducing. See, it has very much reduced. It will reduce further, don't worry. Every day, Bhagwan would care for this great servitor who always kept Bhagwan first, service first. There was nothing else that mattered to Mr. Raman Rao. And just see, if you make God the center, the summum bonum of your life. See how God makes you the center of everything in His scheme of things. If Bhagwan wanted, He could have just cured Mr. Raman Rao in a trice, and He has done that so many times for so many people. But perhaps it was one opportunity where Bhagwan wanted to fill him with love for days together. Give him the chance to be with him. That's how why the Lord comes down, to give us a chance, to give us the joy of talking to him, being with him, playing with him, eating with him. And that opportunity came to Raman Rao after a hectic stint of service during the summer course. In fact, every time someone kept service in the front, Bhagwan was always there in front of that person to hold his hand and take care of every aspect of that person's life. In fact, Bhagwan used to come to Hyderabad very often between 1973 and 79. In fact, during these years, 73 to 79, Bhagwan was there on Telugu New Year's Day, Ugadi. That was very close to the Shivam anniversary day in April. So from 73 to 79, Bhagwan was made continuous visits and spent time with the devotees in Hyderabad in his abode, Shivam. And his constant message during all these years was always one: service. On March 21st, 1976, Bhagwan said, "Members of this organization must be examples of the joy that can be derived from giving up rather than from accumulating. In a world torn by factions based on the flimsy grounds of caste, creed and color," Swami said, "you have to prove that it is possible to have faith in Sai." Faith in Sai being the motivator for every living being. And get inspiration for genuine service from this faith. Service to the Sai in the other person must be your daily act of worship. Bhagwan went on in that discourse, "of all spiritual practices," Swami said, "this is what is most effective. Seek out the slum dwellers, the poor and the neglected ones in hamlets, and take love and light to them in plenty. Be grateful to them when they welcome you and give you those chances to serve them. Your happiness depends on their happiness. Your health depends on their health. The same Sai resides in them too. The Sai organization must promote this high sense of unity and responsibility. It must constantly enthuse and educate members to engage themselves in the sadhana of service." This is what Bhagwan exhorted all the devotees in Shivam, 1976. 3 years later, in 79, Swami said, "children and students must be trained to serve in rural areas. There are 2.5 million children in the country today. 40% among them go about begging. It is not good to keep quiet when there is so much of hardship in the society around. We must give up meditation and other spiritual practices and uplift these people through service and sacrifice." Swami said on that Telugu New Year Day, "all of you should take the pledge on this New Year Day that you will serve the rural people to the best of your ability." So this is what Bhagwan constantly harped on during his visits to Shivam. Repeated powerful exhortations to spur the Sevadal movement in Shivam. And that is how a lot of initiatives were taken up by the devotees. One of them was Narayan Seva. It was the very first initiative, feeding the poor every Sunday. In fact, recalling those early days of service, Mr. S.V. Ellen Narasimha Rao says, "We used to congregate in Shivam by 9 p.m. on Saturday night and sleep there till midnight at 12 a.m. when Sunday dawns. At the stroke of midnight, we would wake up, shower, wear fresh clothes and begin our work in the kitchen. We would make pulihora, a South Indian dish made by mixing rice with turmeric and tamarind. We would make this pulihora with 100 kgs of rice. The cooking would be over by 5 a.m., after which we would clean all the vessels. And then we would go to the prayer hall in Shivam and do Omkaram, Suprabhatam, Nagar Sankirtan. And then we would offer the food prepared as Naivedyam to Bhagwan. And then we would make food packets and return to our homes. At 11 a.m., we would meet again at Shivam, load the packets in vehicles, and now personally distribute them in certified schools, in jails, in homes for the aged, in houses for the disabled, in leprosy colonies, and so on. And after this, we would do hospital duty, wherein we would serve the patients, we would clean their beds and surroundings, we would talk to them lovingly and cater to their needs at Osmania Hospital, at Gandhi Hospital. In the evening, we would be there for the bhajan sessions in Shivam. Our Sundays were spent completely either spending time with Bhagwan in Shivam or serving the representatives of Bhagwan in various hospitals and jails and homes for the aged and the deceased. That is how the Sevadal movement took roots in Hyderabad. In fact, Mr. Narasimha Rao narrates a very telling incident. One night, because of work pressure in his office, he reached Shivam only at 10:30 p.m., not at 9. And when he stepped inside, one elderly man said, "You are not permitted to sleep in Shivam from now on." So Mr. Narasimha Rao was very sad. He picked up his bed and before leaving, he said, "Sir, I used to sleep here voluntarily as part of my service to Swami. Since I'm not allowed to do this anymore, okay, sir, I will go home. I will sleep. Anyway, my mother is alone at home. I will give her company." He felt very sad, but he did not complain. He just prayed to Swami and left everything to him. A few weeks later, there was news of Bhagwan coming to Shivam. Tents were put up and other arrangements were being made. But Swami did not come. And in those days, Mr. Prasad Rao was the state president of Sadasya Organizations Andhra Pradesh and he used to accompany Swami wherever Bhagwan went. So he asked Swami, "We arranged everything for you in Shivam, Swami. Why didn't you come, Swami?" And Swami immediately said, "Prasad Rao, for whom should I come to Hyderabad? Do you know why I come to Shivam? I come to Shivam for the sake of the Sevadals. But sincere workers are asked to stop their seva. Then there is no place for me in Shivam. How can I come? That's why I did not come." Lord's heart is always in tune with the heartbeat of His servitors. And this is what propelled the Sevadal movement in this city, which is the capital of Andhra Pradesh for so long. The Narayan Seva over the years grew in magnitude and variety. Hundreds, thousands of people were fed, not just with a single item, not just with pulihora, but elaborate menu of curry, rice, sambar, chutney, curds, banana, sweet. This is how the Sevadal movement strengthened in the heart of Andhra Pradesh. No person ever was turned away for shortage of food since the inception of this program, and this has been carried out without a break, be it summer, winter, rain or sun. This is how for Bhagwan, it is not just Sri Satya Sai organization, it is Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations. That is how Bhagwan called the Sai movement. And service is so much part of everything that happens in the Satya Sai organizations. And it is He who takes care of the Sai workers, because He is the most compassionate one. His compassion flows out to the needy, and in equal measure or more, it flows out to those who serve the needy.
Dinana Shankara. Kailasavasa, Kailasavasa.
So that is how service activities continued in Shivam. And Mr. Raman Rao was always someone who was a constant source of inspiration. In fact, there are so many volunteers, so many Sevadal members I have met over the years who derive their commitment to Swami from the life that they saw Mr. Raman Rao led. Someone who always gave his room, gave his time, gave his money, gave his resources, and used the proximity that Bhagwan blessed him with only to ensure that more devotees are benefited, more sevadals get opportunities, and there is no inconvenience to Bhagwan at any point in time. In fact, in 1980, when Bhagwan visited Hyderabad, many devotees, including Mr. Raman Rao, felt that the Shivam compound was not able to accommodate the surging crowds. Shivam building and the lawns in front of Shivam could perhaps accommodate 6,000 to 7,000 people, but the number of people converging for Bhagwan's darshan was only increasing every day. And so all the elders were thinking of ways and means of accommodating these people. So with the permission of the Municipal Council of Hyderabad, Mr. Raman Rao and the elders, they started spreading carpets on the 40 feet wide adjacent main road for the devotees to sit just during darshan time. Because next to the lawns of Shivam was the road. And there used to also be some devotees who used to sit on the compound wall of the Central Training Institute, which was facing Shivam. That also provided a vantage position to have Bhagwan's darshan. So during bhajan sessions, Swami would walk along the carpeted aisle within the compound of Shivam, and sometimes he would step onto that carpeted road. But whenever Swami went there, people would lose control. People would just want to come and fall at his feet. So it was becoming very difficult to maintain discipline when Bhagwan went beyond the compound of Shivam. And sometimes there was a fear of a stampede happening. So despite the best efforts by Mr. Raman Rao and others, they were not able to bring order whenever Bhagwan stepped out of the Shivam compound. And the moment the crowd became indisciplined, Swami would return, and the devotees would miss the chance of soaking in the darshan of Bhagwan. Swami is only there for a few days in Hyderabad. And it was Mr. Raman Rao's constant worry how to ensure that everybody benefits from Bhagwan, and it happens in a manner that Swami also is pleased. There is discipline. People can look at Swami with devotion and experience His grace. So constantly thinking on these lines, one day during darshan, Mr. Raman Rao made bold to stack these carpet rolls along the side of the compound wall of Shivam, and he created 3 steps on that 3 feet high compound wall, which had some railings. So basically he created 3 steps with the carpets on the compound wall of Shivam building. And as Bhagwan came towards that direction, Mr. Raman Rao looked at Bhagwan with pleading eyes, almost gesturing that if Swami can get onto the little platform, the stepped platform, then maybe people on the other side can easily have his darshan. If Swami walked out of the compound, there's always a lot of confusion. And Swami very smilingly obliged, and Swami climbed onto the steps and stood on the compound wall. And he was holding the railings with his left hand, and with a lot of joy, Bhagwan raised his right hand in benediction. And you should have seen the joy in the devotees. They all clapped in ecstatic amazement, because now Bhagwan was clearly visible and he was standing on top of the compound wall, and everyone was happy. And this happened because Mr. Raman Rao, constantly thinking what to do, so that everyone can bask in the joy of seeing Swami. And Swami was so happy with this arrangement. Swami just did not stop there. He did not just stand there. Swami now walked along the compound wall, even though that had a very narrow foothold. But Swami was so happy to see all the people breaking into euphoria, breaking into that sublime joy. So Swami was there for a long while, looking at them and blessing them. It was such an exhilarating scene and such a fulfilling moment for Mr. Raman Rao. Here is a man who all the time wanted what to do so that the bridge between Swami and devotees can be made stronger. So from the next morning onwards, a wooden staircase with cushions was made, and Bhagwan very happily used that staircase and started the ritual of compound wall walking during his subsequent days and in fact subsequent visits to Shivam. Mr. Raman Rao always felt that, have we seen any divine master who can go to any extent to grant joy to his devotees? He would always feel that we go to the temples and the deity is there stationed, the deity is at one place, and we all walk and go to have the darshan of God in temples. But in Puttaparthi, it is always a reversal of this scene, Mr. Raman Rao used to say, because here we would have Bhagwan who would come out and who would go personally to the devotees. The devotees need not walk and come. Swami will walk and go to the devotees. And here Bhagwan was climbing onto the compound wall, walking on the compound wall. And I think we know so many instances where Bhagwan didn't care. He would stand on the bonnet of the car. He would stand on any platform. He would stand on any wall. He would stand on any balcony if that would give joy to his devotees. And Mr. Raman Rao had so many opportunities to see this also in person, because Bhagwan not only gave him the chance to serve him, but Bhagwan also gave him the chance to travel along with him. In fact, before I tell you the story of how Bhagwan took him on a beautiful tour of North India in 1982, in the month of April, let me share with you one other little story about what happened in Shivam. So one day when Bhagwan was delivering his divine discourse, this was on April 4th, 1982. It was in the Shivam compound, and it was again to commemorate the construction of the Shivam building. And that day, as Bhagwan was speaking, suddenly the sky was overcast with dark clouds, and it was obvious that there's going to be a heavy downpour. And all the people were panicking, because it was imminent that any time there is going to be a huge shower and there was no cover for the devotees, they were all sitting on the lawns, and Swami could see that there was a lot of uneasiness among the people, and Swami suddenly announced, Varuna will not obstruct our program. Varuna is a rain god. Swami said, rain god will not obstruct our program. Do not worry. And when Swami said that, all the people who were there inside the compound, as well as so many who had gathered outside on the road, beyond the compound, and they were thinking, what will happen to us if it suddenly rains? The moment Swami said, nothing can obstruct our program, rain god will not come in the way of our program, they were absolutely at ease, and they all stayed back and continued to listen to Bhagwan's discourse. And there was just a little drizzle for a minute, and then it stopped. And that drizzle was actually a very welcome drizzle, because it was the summer and it mitigated the summer heat. It was very pleasant now, as Bhagwan started to speak, continue his discourse. And Swami's speech continued uninterrupted for another 90 minutes. And at the end of the program, as the discourse ended and Bhagwan sang the bhajan, then Swami said, rain, it will start to rain after half an hour. So all of you, reach home safely, settle down in your houses, and then the roads will become wet. And exactly as Bhagwan had said, after 40 minutes, the rain god obeyed Bhagwan's command and it began to pour. So it was a downpour of divine grace, a downpour of the Leela of Swami, the master of wind, the master of rain, the master of light, the master of time. This was one glimpse of who is Bhagwan. Shivam, Swami said, is one of his names. When Professor Kasturi wanted a name for Bhagwan's biography, Swami said, call it Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. All these three are the different names of the Lord. His truth, his auspiciousness, and he's beautiful. And Shivam is that. It is the abode of the most auspicious Lord. And when the auspicious Lord is there, nothing inauspicious can ever happen. Nothing can happen that can obstruct a program. And this is how Bhagwan's visit to Shivam filled the devotees not only with inspiration to continue in their service, but also see these glimpses of his divine omnipresence, omnipotence and omniscience. And for Mr. Raman Rao, it was another beautiful confirmation of who Swami is. And he had many more beautiful moments of seeing this at close quarters when Bhagwan took him to North India in the month of April in 1982. And many beautiful events unfolded during that trip of Swami, from Hyderabad to Delhi to Rishikesh to Meerut to the Himalayas. And we will listen to the story in the coming episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. There are many more beautiful tales concerning Mr. Raman Rao's journey with Bhagwan, and we'll continue this in the coming episode of Beacons of Prashantalayam, the series that we started to share with you the lives of exemplary devotees, the lives of great servitors of the Lord. And there are any number of such beautiful souls, even now in Prashanthi Nilayam, and it's our endeavor to share with you these stories so that they become our inspirations. They fill us with courage when we are down, and they fill us with motivation to walk on this path with joy, with enthusiasm, with energy, and with ever-present love surging in our hearts. So, dear listeners, as we continue this series in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, if you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Looking forward to your participation in this beautiful journey of reliving the lives of beautiful souls of Prashanthi Nilayam. Thank you so much. Sairam.